Blog Talk Radio.
Russia primarily, they play upon the
biases, the bigotry, the prejudices, fears, and apprehensions of a lot of Americans, man, and get these wedge issues promoted to the front of the class, in a sense, and it's shameful, it's scary, and we need to be more cognizant, conscientious in what we read and disseminate and that sort of thing. One of the other issues associated with the relocation was, this is a completely different environment from one which I'm used to, in which, people are discreet, they're discerning, and tactfully. They're appreciative of critical, they're able to critically analyze information, and down here they don't do it. It's just that simple. There's no other way to put it. So you have the typical stereotypical or archetypes, where people are just telling you anything and becoming upset if you don't accept it because you know it's not true. First of all, that's the first thing. And the second thing is that, you've already told them, where you're coming from, literally and figuratively speaking, and they're still trying to promote, falsehoods. And then taking exception when you don't accept it at what they're saying at face value because it's simply untrue. So it's like they're basically insulting your intelligence. So that's the one thing you got to war against because you can't get. That is the dynamic down. That is the culture of the place where not everybody, obviously, you find a lot of a lot of people thinking that they're much more important than they are and that sort of thing. And, when you're in a small environment, or a little fishbowl, put it that way. That is to be expected. So that's where we are with that. So we're trying to work through the cultural or the culture shock. And basically integrating ourselves into the community, without causing too much upheaval, but we're just not going to tolerate certain foolishness. I mean, that's not going to... It's not going to fly. So let's take a break and come back on it. I don't have a lot to talk about this morning because, to be frank with you, which is highly unusual, I didn't prepare for the show. Like I said, everything is still in a state of flux here. We're still working through a lot of complications. And there's basically nothing new on the political horizon. Either they're going to impeach this guy or they're not going to impeach him, and either he's going to be ousted from office or he's going to get a second term and cause further upheaval in the world, as he has already done. It's a matter of in this culture war that we're currently embroiled in, it's just simply a matter of who's going to prevail, the progressives or the conservatives who want to maintain the status, well, not even maintain the status quo, man, they want to roll it back. And I don't, listen, I'm a progressive. I have to be, and I am, which is a fault, unfortunately. It ought not be a fault, but I guess is how you put it. But I've always been, honest. And I don't agree with everything that we've done in terms of the culture war here in the United States. I don't agree with a lot of issues. I'm not going to name every single one of them. And by the way, those that want to call in, you can give us a call at 215-383-3872. Again, that number is 215-383-3872. I simply don't. And most of the issues, or yeah, most of the paradigm shifts that that occurred over the last 10 years, you know what they are. I don't need to. And the pushback that, I'm not saying the pushback is right. I'm just saying that there has to be balance. Nature is always going to find, equilibrium. It's never going to be on one extreme or the other, too hot, too cold. It's always going to try to find, the middle, the midpoint, the medium. And so in a culture where we find ourselves on extreme, not on the extreme left, but on the left, we definitely are on the left. And the right wants to bring it all the way back, or, the culture to the right. So we're going to have to find a midpoint in this country, a medium, a happy median, where we can all survive and interact at least comfortably, tolerantly with each other. And again, because I don't agree with something, doesn't mean that I think it should be outlawed. I don't agree with that either. I agree that unless you're committing a crime or something that is outrageously immoral, I mean, there is no ambiguity about it, then you enjoy the right. You really do, to live your life in the manner that you choose, you see fit. I honestly believe that. I always have and always will. Whereas the conservatives want you to live your life according to their own worldview, which I think is outrageous. I mean, no one has the right to dictate someone else's how someone else lives their life, who they sleep with, what they do in the privacy of their homes. I have gigantic problems with that as well. So I think I'm in that 70, 80, 90% of folks that believe that you ought to be able to do what you want to do, long as it's not overtly breaking the law or something that's outrageously immoral. And it's all relative. I'm not into a moral relativism. I think that there are certain, definitive standards that we can apply here, ethical standards. So there is no, ambiguity about what's right or wrong. We know what's right or wrong. We can either use the Christian precept of the Ten Commandments, or we could use other measures. Ethical society, has espoused to make that determination for us, but we know that. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just obvious, and that's why there are laws on the book. The problem I have with the judicial system, and I'll say this before we go to break, and I was watching Politics Nation, which is I haven't been able to watch in many, many months, if not years, and it's not a well put together show. I mean, the production is fine as it stands, but Al Sharpton is neither a newscaster. He's an opinion host, but he's not even good at that. And I say that to say that he did raise an issue that has been close to my heart, which is judicial system and having all these white males in the judicial system, because I've been personally impacted, in litigation that we brought that is meritorious and has been dismissed, and I have been cast as a malcontent and that sort of thing, and disrespected and publicly humiliated because you have these white males in place. And when you learn to play by their rules, and I'm a lawyer, I'm a what you call a graduate lawyer. I'm not a licensed lawyer. I don't want to let me make that distinction first and foremost. Because a lot of people, well, you don't have Esquire behind. No, most people that are graduate lawyers either use JD or nothing. depends on if they're practicing. And I know tons of lawyers that don't practice that are engaged in other activities or other fields of endeavor. So at any rate, the point I'm trying to make is that going into these courts and dealing with these white males who have their own biases and prejudices and bigotry, it's quite difficult, because if you go to a reviewing court, which would laymen call a court of appeals or an intermediate appeal, so it depends on the jurisdiction that you're in. Maryland has intermediate appeals courts, as does New York. New Jersey does not. If you are granted certiorari, I don't even know if they have certiorari in New Jersey. You go directly to the Court of Appeals, as you do in Delaware and several other states. So at any rate, the point I'm trying to make is that in these courts, Sharpton was talking about courts of appeal, which are the highest courts, the final say in these states. And, I have been in a situation where the courts did not follow their own president. And that's scary because that's corruption. When you have a court that does not follow its own president because it doesn't like you or it wants to get back at you, whatever. That is scary because that means that they are creating a standard for you and you alone. And that's what we say about, having all these white males on these courts and even white females, because oftentimes they share the sentiment of their male counterparts. You need to have blacks and especially black females, and that's not to say that blacks and black females, because I had a judge in Delaware that sits on a federal bench, Leonard Stark, and he is by any objective measure an incompetent, and he's also a Tom. So he sits on high, trying to protect these racist court officials. They're not even judges. They're not judicial officers. But he has taken it upon himself as Super Negro to protect these people and has caused tremendous distress in numerous litigation that I've brought in the court that has been assigned to him deliberately by an out-of-control clerk who has taken it upon himself not to follow the, court procedure and rules, but to do what he wants to do. And so, when you have these situations, it's easy for them to dismiss you as a malcontent because they say that, either you're not following court rules or procedures or the judge has judicial discretion to rule in whatever manner he or she decides. And then, unfortunately, when you go to the reviewing court, because they want to maintain the status quo and they don't want to disrespect the judge below them. And I had a judge actually say that not to, it was actually someone else. I wasn't representing the person because I can't legally represent someone, but I was helping them out. And they prevailed, by the way. And I'm not going to name the jurisdiction because, I don't want people that may or may not be listening to look up the case. But the judge has since stepped down and went back into private practice. So they are no longer on the bench. But that judge, who knew I was a lawyer because I heard her say it in the background, it was the most bizarre litigation I ever had the misfortune of being a part of. And again, we did prevail. we didn't prevail. No, let me stop. We did not prevail. But we managed to stave off the relief that the plaintiff wanted initially, but subsequently they were awarded the relief that they requested. So at any rate, the judge, I kind of lost my train of thought, but what I was talking about is how, this is what it was. The judge, in one of her responses, responses to our pleadings, stated that, you know, she knows the person that is writing this is a lawyer, and he or she needs to identify him or herself, and blah 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 blah. All right. Fast forward, and because the judge was being really outrageous. I mean, really, just not even any modicum of judicial discretion or comportment. Let me put it that way. And so I spoke about it, and her response in writing was that the Court of Appeals is not going to like this, and they did not. She was absolutely right. They ruled in her favor or against us when we did appeal, but it gave the person enough time to do whatever they had to do, which wasn't much, to address the situation that they were in. But, I was just saying that to say that, you know, it's, I appreciated Sharpton for speaking on that, because I believe that's the problem that we're going to have in the future. This is the legacy that Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker is going to have on this country. They are stacking the decks with these racist white male hacks, especially on a federal judiciary, which has fallen into disrepute anyway, because you got imbeciles like Leonard Stark sitting on a bench in the District of Delaware, who knows about as much law as a sea slug. And he's there simply because Clinton put him there. You know, he was a Democratic hack, you know, a party aficionado, and, played the game, well enough to get these high-level appointments for which he was singularly unqualified, and made his way to a lifetime appointment on the bench, and it's just shameful, because I'm a black man. I can't even share it. I mean, it's just, it would aggravate me to no end to repeat this, what he has done. I mean, it's just, it was outrageous, definitely judicial misconduct on a monumental scale. And you couldn't get the Court of Appeals, which is, I believe that's the Third Circuit there, which sits in Philadelphia, Philly. You couldn't get them to address it. So it was absolutely outrageous. It really was. And so I think that that's what we need to focus on, the damage that Trump is. Because you already have pushback now. Trump appointee actually ruled in his favor on the emoluments clause, which was won in a lower court. The district court judge said that matter could proceed, and when it got to the a reviewing court, he had the administration, rather, or his lawyers, because I believe that would be something that had to be appealed by his personal attorneys, not necessarily in his. Well, I know it was probably done in his official capacity, but the judge threw it out, dismissed it. It said that the state of Maryland, who had brought the suit in in Commonwealth of Virginia, had no standing. So it's kind of screwed up that they had no in terms of whether or not they had standing is interesting question legally, because the lower court actually ruled that they did have standing. I think that they should have, I think that the reviewing court should have sustained the lower court's ruling in this particular instance, because there is definitely, there is no doubt about it that he is violating the emoluments clause. He he is personally benefiting. I mean, come on, man. You don't have to be stupid. And this is the thing where I say that this corruption is taking place in living color. Because, you know, when you are having the Secret Service guard you at a golf course that you own and they have to stay there on premises, and that money is going directly into your coffers, you're not, you know, I mean, come on. I mean, and this is the type of disrespect that we have our intelligence insulted on a daily basis because this is how the game is played. You know, when it's you know, a certain hue, people of a certain hue are doing it or doing stuff or engaged in misconduct. Long as they're part of that privileged class, it's fine. But you or I come along and we're a different hue, but we've learned to play the game correctly, then the goalposts change. And then all of a sudden they don't want to play by the rules, or they're creating new rules as they go along. And I'm telling you that if we don't address this situation where they're appointing all these white judges, the federal judiciary, we can basically... is done, you know, but these state courts of appeal, which have the last say, is going to impact you and I definitely, because even a legislature, say you have a progressive legislature and someone brings the National Rifle Association or, you know, some group associated with, having an anti-abortion stance, says that they want to sue the administration because they don't agree with some legislation it's proposing or implementing. And these judges rule against the legislature. That is one of the immediate effects of having all these reactionary white males in these positions of immense authority. And it's something that we have to be extraordinarily mindful of, you know, when we're electing these people. When you go to the... Because a lot of them are elected. A lot of these judges are elected. It depends on the jurisdiction. So... we have to, you know, when we go to the ballot and that sort of thing, we have to be extraordinarily careful of who we're elected because, you know, a lot of times these guys don't, or women don't, they don't necessarily campaign. You know, they assume... that, you know, you're going to vote for them because you don't know any better. So, you know, it's something that we have to be careful about. Well, at any rate, it's about time for me to get out of here. I didn't even have a break, but this is something that has become near and dear to me because I've been personally impacted by it. And I think that is something that we should bear in mind because, again, the Trump administration has been able to thwart justice in at least one case. I don't think they're going to be able to do it indefinitely because the whole system hasn't become corrupt. There are still good judges out there, but they're becoming far and few in between. Have a great week. Oh,
button. Get out with the day.